All right. We are back. Tangy Talks, episode 18. Man, climbing up the charts.
Incredible. Incredible times, man. Happy Monday to you, Steve. A little different today.
Yeah, Monday. Look, we have operations. Things pop up. It was a holiday weekend, July 4th. You know, we didn't take the full day off because we had stuff going on. But,
exactly.
You know, we couldn't come to you on a Friday. But you know what? We're here on a Monday, and we're going to post it today, and you'll have it. So it'll be nice.
I love it. I love it. So how was your 4th of July weekend?
I had a great time. Cool? I got to really enjoy it. I live in a condo building, and we got new management. So it just shows you about management and how good a job they can do. They upgraded all the services around the property in the 90 days they've been here, and they did a big 4th of July party. So for us,
so cool.
Loved it. Never had that before. DJ, catered food, entertainment for the kids. It was like being at a hotel, but nah, it's the first time I felt like that living in a condo. So very cool. I enjoyed it very much. Cool.
I love it, man. Yeah. And so, you're in a great area. So I'm like, you for sure, you could see it from your balcony. You could sit right out there and saw all the craziness, but a little less adventurous 4th of July for us. Our baby has the teeth growing, a little growing pains here and there. So 4th of July, unfortunately, he was crying all day, uncomfortable. We had the Motrin out every 4 or 5 hours. So it wasn't, we couldn't do what we wanted or what we had planned, but we stayed indoors. We watched some soccer games, Euro Cup and also the Copa America. So it was a good time. We, ordered in and enjoyed it. I mean, we live in the Little Havana area. So just like poking out your head outside, you could hear and see the fireworks. So
I think we'd like invite people over next time because you can see the whole city from our balcony. And so you see everyone's fireworks, everyone's little fireworks plus the big ones. It's a really cool vibe.
It must be so cool. Yeah, I saw that. I had that view on a New Year's Day, and it was a balcony that was looking out to the water. And on the left side, you saw the entire city, and you didn't realize how many people are actually doing fireworks. And it's so cool to see like the whole city just light up basically.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the other thing that we did, guys, I'm going to start sneaking in like movies during these holidays. We watched The Sandlot.
The Sandlot
is a good 4th of July movie. So
hey, man.
In between the events, we came up, watched The Sandlot, showed it, and they loved it. So
there you go. And we're going to have a baseball player or softball player child after watching the movie.
Let's see. Maybe. Let's see what they say. But baseball, they liked it. They liked chasing the beast, chasing them after with the beast.
So. I love that movie, man. A classic. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, they got to learn who the great Bambino was. So that was the
great Bambino. Oh, man.
Yeah. I thought Babe Ruth was a girl. They don't know Babe Ruth. So it was funny. Just
that's
like
true.
In the movie.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't know either. Actually, I mean, when I was younger, my dad was a really big fan of the Yankees. And I had an aunt that invited us to a game here with the Marlins. And she comes back and she brings me a little doll. I've heard the name before. And when she brings it up to me, I see and I read. It's like Babe Ruth. And I still have it to this day. I love it. I mean, I have it anywhere sitting where I have like my office space. So super cool. And yeah, some people just don't know the history, right? And it's like our pastime here in the United States.
Yeah. And so for me, I only played for one practice when I was in first grade. I got hit in the mouth with the ball and I said, I'm going to switch sports. And that was it for me. But I still like that movie very much.
Very cool.
Anyhow, we're getting sidetracked here talking
about movies.
Baseball
talk, yeah, right?
Still, look, and that movie, the reason I played it, Beth 4th of July scene for kids, right? Like out there running around the streets on your own. My kids were wondering why they can't do that. But, maybe one day.
Different times.
But we've got a lot going on in our world, which I want to cover because like we all say, it's not always sunshine and rainbows here in business. And we're going to cover some of the challenging things that we've gone through this week and maybe how to help some others. But there's been some interesting news also in our state. We covered a little bit last episode about the bill that was vetoed that now all the regulations go back to the counties instead of at the state level. So we'll cover a little bit about that, what's happened in Palm Beach. But I want to get started on something that could help people very much. It's this was an article on CNBC about Airbnb hosts investigating their guests. And so some guests are wondering how they're getting canceled, how, people are trying to get work away around and book stuff for other people. And so we see that a lot. And I think that's one of the best things we've developed skills on is making sure our homes don't turn into party homes or places don't get destroyed. So there's a couple of things from this story that they talk about, like looking at social media, checking IDs and doing different things. But what do we do? How could we give some advice? So if somebody wanted to learn how not to have a bad Airbnb or VRBO guest, what do we do?
Yeah. And it's very interesting to see all of people's techniques, right? Because it showed us on that article about 3 to 4 people and what they do on their end. So it's interesting to see. And it's cool because you could really use a little bit of everything, right? I mean, you could plug in everything that they do into what we're doing, and it'll work. So I'm glad to see that even as a personal host, instead of going to a management company, they still have their processes. Yep. But our vetting or verification process is pretty long in a sense, but I think there's still things that we can do. But it first starts off from that first communication with the guest, right? As soon as they're sending us the messages, we're looking for everything to be verified as an email, a government ID. It could be either a license or a passport. We're also asking several questions prior to their arrival, prior to them booking in general. And it's, what are their plans while they're here, and what are the reasons that they're coming to stay with us? You know, from there we can really get a good feeling of what they're, of what their desire or what they're going to be doing during their stay. So those are two key questions that we love to ask. We also have our agreement that they're signing, and they know the house rules, and they know, what they're getting themselves into. And, sometimes you really could see from a long, long distance, you could see where that trouble guest or who that trouble guest is going to be. So I've definitely done my Google research, on some guests prior to booking. I think the easiest way, and I don't know if anybody else is doing this, but really getting their name and their phone number and plugging it on Google. Usually you'll get either a LinkedIn profile, a Facebook profile, and then just see what it's about. And it's interesting that we even talk about Facebook. That's something that from this article that they mentioned that they were looking into Facebook, or also searching social medias of their current or future guests, and seeing that there's Facebook posts already promoting parties in that property. I mean, I can't imagine what I would do or how I'd react if I see one of our properties being promoted for parties on Facebook. It's crazy.
That was wild. And I think for other people listening out there, wow, like, you guys are screening so hard. And, I can't believe hotels don't do this to us when they're coming. They don't ask all these questions. I think you're a little incorrect in certain things, because when you're checking into a hotel, we know every guest that's coming. And if they book above a certain level, Victor used to be in charge of VIP program, would look up those people to see who is coming. Who are they? How can we make sure they're going to be taken care of, but also to see if there's anything that raises any red flags. So that is happening in luxury hotels. The other is like, oh, well, you don't have to sign a rental agreement when we go to a hotel. Yes, you do. You don't realize it. When you go to check in and ask for your credit card and your ID, and you make that booking online, all the fine print says you're agreeing to what's going on in that hotel. That's why you can be thrown out of hotels. So like when I was in executive hotels, I would have to kick people out. And so you agreed to all these rules. I never signed that. So yes, you did. When you booked the hotel, here's your booking. Here's how you agreed. Here's your signature. Some people still sign paper when they get to hotels. So that is all happening there. But a lot of it we've dealt with, and we had to learn the hard way, is credit card fraud, right? Because there's certain booking channels that don't back you up as much as others. Like Airbnb is kind of helpful in making sure payments getting secured. But there's other channels that are not. I remember when we booking, we had to learn hard a couple times where a guest would stay and it was a fake credit card. Yeah, we had no way to like back up. And so this is when we started to get very strict in making sure we knew. So we had to learn an expensive mistakes, that we had to cover. And so
that's really how you learn, right? Out of mistakes. And it's how you proceed after that, right? The lessons that you learned and what you put in place. And I think if it wasn't for us getting burned, one or two times through booking.com, I don't think we would, put all these processes in place that we have now. And to booking.com's credit, they have now a really fantastic process, very similar to Airbnb. We have Airbnb, booking.com, and Hopper that follow very similar processes. Through Vrbo, we're still collecting credit cards, and we're ensuring we're getting ID that matches the credit card. And then as well, we're verifying the credit card beforehand. Always the safest way is getting that, swiping that card in person, having that card in your hand. But sometimes, we're not able to do that. Or sometimes the guests don't even like for us to go to the property and, collect their credit card. So we do things a little remotely, but we're doing, you know, we're taking our steps before to make sure that we're getting the correct credit card, because the credit card fraud is very, very, you know, often it happens.
Yeah.
So it's something that you need to worry about. Yeah.
People think it doesn't happen. It happens very often in Airbnb and vacation rentals and hotels. Like, we're always on it, making sure we've got it. We even have a whole checklist for our team to make sure we get payments if we start getting any kind of red flags. Exactly. But the other part too, that is interesting, cause I've seen it more and more now as we're growing, is like, you know, teenagers trying to book. We don't allow teenagers to book. And then it's like their parent that's in another state, or an older cousin that's trying to book. And then we find out it's really for the teenager. So there's a lot of stuff you got to do to protect that house, cause that's our number one job, is protecting that asset, because we are a management company, protecting that asset for our clients.
Exactly.
And also making sure the guests have a great time, but protecting that asset is the number one thing.
Very important. Yeah, I love that. I'm just thinking right now, I'm reminiscing our hotel days when a guest credit card came back failed, and we were knocking on doors and searching for the guest in the pool area and the common areas trying to get another credit card. That was a hassle. So I'm glad that we have now processes and steps in place that we don't have to actually, you know, physically have that conversation or be in front of that guest having that conversation, and we can prevent it.
Yeah, no one wants to argue about money. So we want to protect the house. Let's protect this house. Let's
protect this house. Protect
commercial. What was that, Under Armour? We need to get that back.
That is Under Armour, yeah.
All right, so we talked about some legal stuff going on, and this one is a pretty big one. Palm Beach, you know, one of the wealthiest counties and cities in Florida. You know, most of the homes are multi-million dollar homes. They are going big against this because there was some vacation rentals that popped up in the neighborhoods. And then there was another company, I forgot the name, called Picasso. And Picasso, what they do is they take like a $20 million home and then sell it to 8 different individuals, and they share that house in like vacation rental style, timeshare style house. Wow. And so that started popping up a lot. And Palm Beach said, zero chance this is happening. No, and they use their legal current standards saying that these are residential zones. We don't allow vacation rental. We don't allow timeshare. We don't allow multiple owners of homes. And they use, like, in the law, very clear, single family is for one unit of people, because they don't have to be related, but one unit living here for a year at a time. And so, you know, they're coming in hardcore as well, making sure that doesn't blow up in their city. And so you're seeing it all over the world starting to tighten up. And I think that's, you know, we see it in Barcelona. We saw it in New York. We're seeing it now in Palm Beach going on with these big time homes. I think you're going to see it more and more in the cities. We talked about Miami is posting signs of short-term rentals that are run illegally.
Exactly.
So I think if you're not in those zones, it's very risky. You know, we're trying to help clients that are in those zones find investments in zones that they're allowed, so we can be good neighbors and do things the right way.
I love it. Yeah, you hit it on the head there. It's I feel like we're talking about this every episode. We're like talking about a new city. You know, last week it was international. It was in Barcelona. And now this week here, you know, it hits home here in Florida. But you can see DeSantis, you know, bill that he vetoed going into place right away, and giving that freedom back to the city, or that, you know, that ability to the city to be able to place these rules catered to them themselves, instead of having, you know, just kind of like a one fits all rule and law for the whole entire Florida. So, yeah, you know, like we talked about it, join associations, you know, join Facebook groups, stay ahead of this. I'm sure this is affecting a lot of people in Palm Beach who've been doing this for some time, and they are the good actors. You know, they are the ones that, you know, are always in the town meetings, are always, you know, ahead of the game, listen to podcasts like this to try to stay ahead. And, you know, they're being affected by it. So I see it happening more and more, and especially in these cities and these areas that are smaller communities, but, you know, very wealthy communities, right? Palm Beach is probably one of the wealthier here in the city. So interesting to see. And, you know, we just got to stay ahead and see what what's next.
And also kind of know the rules. So, like, they're saying, I misquote, it wasn't a year. It's like you have to be renting for at least 3 months, right?
So, 3 months. So that's a minimum.
3 months. So we talked about this. I talked about a little bit on LinkedIn this week, kind of these midterm stays, I think, are the way we're seeing a lot of them too ourselves, like people extending their trips and staying for multiple weeks and some even months. So I think that might be a way to kind of make sure you have this model where you can take those people's information and money and make sure you have a different type of agreement for that.
Yeah.
So this midterm rental, because that's what's starting to happen more and more.
Agreed. And this, you know, raises a question. And I think about this often because, you know, now you see these 3-month minimum, which is actually very different because there's other cities that are doing 30-day minimums, which then, you know, allow you to do month-to-month basically guest staying in your property. So does that now impede? Like, let's say now your realtor finds a great person, you know, but they want to, you know, be month-to-month. Does that mean that you have to, you know, by law abide and sign a 3-month minimum agreement, you know? So does that wash away month to month for the people that are not even in short-term rentals? Or do they mean, you know, you need to market it on all of these booking platforms and it needs to be a minimum of 3 months? So I'm sure those questions are...
Great question. We got to talk to our real estate attorney on some of them, because we are not legal. We're not giving you any legal advice on this podcast. So we're just throwing out some ideas. So don't come back and say we gave you this idea.
It's just a question. And if somebody knows and then maybe have, you know, read the language more directly and sees where there's a clear sign, because I'm sure that question is going to be, you know, asked. And I'm sure people that are hearing this on the news are like, oh, what about my month-to-month rental that I have a little, you know, secondary unit? Or am I going to be okay? Are those people, you know, do I have to kick those people out? So it's interesting to see.
You got to know. Like, we were just talking to a realtor on our team that is showing properties that are all 30-day and more rentals. Right. And some of them say you can only rent it 30 days or more a certain amount of time. So we have to know those rules of those places and give advice to the potential buyer that will become our client. Because in the end, yeah, we would love to take their property and we could run it for a month and then they're going to be upset and get themselves in trouble. So it's tough, but I think it's going to happen more and more. I think the cities are starting to see the high prices of homes. They're blaming vacation rental, short-term rental. But New York, I was reading an article. I should have shared it here today. In New York, it's been banned for a while now, since last November. And they have not seen prices of homes come down. And so the whole thing of like, oh, these prices are going to come down, they have not come down. And all that's gone up is the average nightly rate of hotel prices and hotel occupancy. So the hotels have done very well with it. So shout out to our hotel friends. We've got a bunch of them up there running hotels, but the pricing of homes have not come down. So, you know, that's always the argument that all the Airbnbs are and VRBOs and vacation rentals are taking up homes that people can live in, which I get on a little bit, but New York is showing it's not that case. Anything else on this topic you want to add?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered a lot of it, you know, and we keep repeating it, you know, join associations like the ones that, you know, we're chairs of and favor and, you know, stay ahead. There's associations out there that are paying a lot of money to have the ears in Tallahassee and communicate directly. So there's Facebook groups, social media, so many places, so many resources that staying ahead, you know, really doesn't cost much, nor does it, you know, take so much time. So, you know, just join those groups.
Yep. I agree with you. The other thing too, you know, I think you nailed it. I think we can go on to our next topic. Is look, we've had, you know, owning business is not an easy game, we'll say. Like, there's ups, there's downs. It can be challenging. And I want to talk about this because not everyone shares their challenges. Everyone shares like their big wins and, oh, we got all these things going on that are fantastic. But I think to be real and share would be good. So we've had a challenging week, I would say, right, for our company. We've had a key team member that decided to leave and go back to the military, which, you know, we all support our troops and we're proud of him and everything he accomplished, and he'll be moving on. This was his last week. We had another key team member that really is involved in operations, have a family emergency that we gave time off to be there. And then we lost a property that we really liked in our portfolio that we had record numbers on, had as a top rated property, but left to go to a cheaper competitor, right? Even though we're doing all these things amazing. And so, you know, I think it'd be very important to talk about facing adversity, not just in vacation rental, but in owning a company and how the things you go through, because we are a small company of, you know, 20-ish or so team members and things that we have going on. But so a loss of two key team members, one from leaving the company, one because of a family emergency, is hard. And so, you know, I go back to our core values that y'all just cover really quick, and how it helps us is we think creatively, we take action, we have grit, we are open, we're transparent with our clients and team. So we lean on those things. But Victor, you run operations, and, you know, it can be a big time challenge for us. What does it feel like? What is some advice you can give business owners, or just how you feel about the week?
Yeah. I mean, I love that we're talking about this, because you said it, right? I mean, it's really the ups and downs. You know, we take it as waves. There's really, really great moments that, you know, we celebrate and we accomplish and we post on LinkedIn. And then there's sometimes, you know, that it all kind of like the same, right? When it rains, it pours. So it's been a tough week, but, you know, I love that you brought up the core values, because I think we showed, you know, a lot of those, especially grit, you know, because a lot of the teams were, you know, working not at full capacity. So a lot of the team members had to step up, you know. So I think it just goes back into communication, having the right people, having the right partners. Steve, you know, so something that isn't, you know, the what we do every week, and you really stepped up and got in there and found some solutions for our team. Started, you know, looking out. I know you put your recruiting hat back on, and started reaching out for potential, you know, new candidates. So that was really helpful. But communication, I think it's the biggest part. And then also, you know, I talked about partners and having people around you that really can pick you back up, right? Because it is defeating. You know, I told you on Friday when I went to the property where it was a tropical villa or one of our better properties that we've been managing for about 4 years. I was looking forward to the owner came down, you know, to come and visit the property, visit Miami. I was looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him in some time. And then unfortunately, you know, he shared the bad news without any kind of warning. And really it hurt, you know, because it does feel, I told you, I'm like, I think I said it, I'm like, I've never been fired before, but whatever that felt like, that's probably what that would feel like to get fired.
You had the same.
Right. So, you know, and we're being candid here, and we're being straightforward about that. But yeah, it's, you know, getting through those really tough times and having people around you that will pick you back up and will tell you, hey, you know, let's put your head up. We have a lot more things to be positive about, which we do, and really gets you, you know, to kind of grind out through those tough weeks. And there's always blue skies behind those clouds, right? So I think that's where we need to kind of position ourselves mentally.
Yeah, if I've learned anything, because now I've been in multiple companies,
right,
of my own too, is that can't panic and you can't freak out, because you see me when I was in that state many years ago when I had Vita Hospitality. It didn't do any good because anxiety gets you. I just watched the movie Inside Out 2, and there's a whole scene about anxiety. I felt that. So if you've seen Inside Out 2, that's how I felt at Vita Hospitality. But now, the second round of being an entrepreneur, it's things are going to happen. How do you react to those things? Take that anxiety, that energy, and turn it into action, right? It's like, all right, that happened. You could sit and think about it, or you turn it into action and start finding solutions. And I think that's what we're doing, is really having that grit, thinking creatively, being open with each other. You know, taking action is another big one. That's why I love that's one of our core values.
Huge.
And making moves on things. So not sitting on it. Yes, contemplate what went wrong. Think about how you can change certain things, whether it's the property we lost, a team member deciding to go to the military. Not much we can do with the family emergency, but we actually went above and beyond. Not to give everything out that we did, but we went way above and beyond for this person, and I'm proud of what we've done for that person. And I think really it's, for any business owner out there, it happens to all of us. It's how you react. And we have new properties coming in, which is great. So it's actually, we just talked about it. We have a new property coming up that's actually better than the property we lost. It would be great to have both, but, you know, we'll just look at it like it was a little bit of a trade, and we came out on the trade. But there are competitors out there. And so how do you, you know, I was thinking about this. We are a premium company. How do you compete against the people that are hurting themselves because they're operating at such a less price, you know, that we know you can't really operate at that price unless you're,
it's tough.
You know, you can't scale at that price, and you can't hire quality people at that price. So it's going to be tough. Interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And when we have these conversations, we scratch our heads sometimes when we see, you know, other management companies offering services at 10%, you know, service fee. And we're just like, how do they survive? But, you know, more and more we realize and we notice, and this is what I tell a lot of our clients, yeah, we can be in the 25%, a little bit more premium of a service. But, you know, what you're going to get out of us and the luxury and the hospitality and the background of our team that you're going to get out of us is going to take them, you know, really long time to get there. And, you know, they won't hurt you on the front end is something that I come to realize, because, you know, they'll charge the 10% service fee. But then all of the additional, you know, fees and all the additional things that they will charge you will come out to around 20-25%.
Yeah, we learned some of the tricks from some of the others, right? They charge a low rate up front, but then it's like, oh, here's your handyman fee, here's your toilet paper fee, here's your hot tub heating fee, your barbecue cleaning fee.
It's crazy.
And then it starts to add up and add up, and I don't realize.
Starts to add up, and then you are paying, you know, the more. Premium price or more.
I saw one that was doing more.
It's incredible, yeah. And, you know, that's why it's so important to vet the companies you're going with, seeing who they're going to be, you know, bringing it onto your team, asking them about their team, you know, potentially even meeting their team. That's yep. another thing that we realized and noticed. You know, all of our team members, we hire from within. You know, we yep. train, we staff, we do our background checks. We do all of the processes, you know, to employ team members that we believe in, and we know that we can grow and we can have a great impact. But then these other companies, you know, they don't want to deal with the housekeeping department. They don't want to deal with the communications department. So they're just hiring third-party companies at a really, really small value that they'll probably not, you know, perform the best. So yeah, you know, 10%, that's great. You're hurting you're saving your pockets on the front end, but then you're going to hurt yourself on the business end, because, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to produce as much. Maybe you're going to have a lot more, you know, a lot of higher fees. And it's going to be a challenge, and you're going to find yourself in a position like, wow, you know, I need to find another management, or you get a bad taste in your mouth and you stop doing short-term rental altogether. And that's hopefully not what we want. So a lot to learn
yeah,
from there.
A lot to learn, but we're always learning. And I think that's what it is. We're taking action. That's if I can get my message out in hard times in business, turn that anxiety into action. And usually you're going to be in a much better place than just thinking about it and what went wrong.
I love right. that. Yeah, there's so much to start. You know, you just always have to think there's always a solution. And usually, you know, you come better, you come out of it better than you recently yeah. have. And we've seen that time and time again. So we just Dwayne Wade? I love his saying, fall seven times, get up eight.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's really what it is. You know, there's so many teams that have, I take it back to sports, because that's, you know, kind of my background. So many teams that have lost so many times, and they needed those losses to be able to get to, you know, the championship and those dynasties. So that's really how I see it and how I you know, visualize it. And then it's just one step at a time.
Yeah. Look, I you know me, I used to way back think, oh, every business like a family, and we're a family. And I think I've said it much worse, a team. I look at sports teams, right? So if you're not every year stepping up and getting better to get to to be the best, then you got to find the people to do it. So when you lose a key person that's going somewhere else, it a bummer for sure. Really like that person, did a great job, showed us what that job and position can do, and also things how to improve it, right? So it's also like, all right, who's the next player coming in that's going to improve this spot, and how can it be everything we need from it? So
exactly.
I think all the challenges we went through this week, as much as they are, oh man, like hitting us one after the other.
Right.
There's so many good things going on, right? Like record right. numbers, doing great for our business. But those are challenges, because now it comes down to you and I getting more involved until we find help and get those key places, you know, have our person return, find a new recruit. But the good news, we got a lot of good people that want to work with us, which was a nice surprise.
Very nice surprise. Very nice surprise. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Really shows, you know, how the market is and what, you know, people are really looking out there. And there's a lot of quality candidates that, you know, are really looking to start fresh, start something new. Mm-hmm. This is still a very fresh idea, I feel, to people outside, you know, especially, you know, from hotels or the hospitality background. So there was a lot of interest. You know, we had, I think, over like 40 candidates for this position. So we went mm-hmm. through each one, and we've conducted so many interviews and still have interviews to conduct, but I've just been so happy to meet and learn about so many other people, and the potential is there.
Yeah, a lot of hotel people. So hotel people, if you want to come on over, let us know. But we got some good candidates. I think we're going to choose definitely one of them that we've got
for sure.
But it just shows us, the one thing I want to make sure that people realize in tough times, if you don't have standards, if you don't have core values, I think you should have them, because that's what you lean on, especially when you're going through tough times. It's not just pie in the sky. Like, oh, here's our mission and core values. Like, this is the first time where I've really leaned on. I was like, let me look at these. Let's embody these. Let's get through the tough time that we have right now, because we're only getting better every time. So I leave it with that. But man, 30 minutes went by quick.
Incredible.
We're flying through, you know, but I think I'm proud of us for sharing the real world stories of what it is. It's not all wins every single day, every single week. That's not real life or in business either. So, you know, I'm happy we shared that.
Same.
So listen, for you all out there, we continue to grow our listener base. I love seeing the numbers going up on the streaming platforms. If you're not following us yet on YouTube, you can see this, our videos and our faces. We're looking handsome today. You can get on YouTube and subscribe at Tangy Talks. And if you think somebody would find some value in this today, you know, I think we talked about some stuff that could help people that maybe are going through some challenging times. Share this podcast with them. We would love to see that go out there. And until next week, we will see you soon.